Well, good morning. It is so good to have you with us today, whether it's in person or online or on the radio. And I am glad you have joined us as we continue in our Advent sermon series called A Light Has Arrived. And our message today is called Restored. Okay. I don't know what you think about when you think of a stump. Maybe you think of Rod or Patty or Andrew or Bridget or Mary Beth or Mark or Rhonda. I mean, that's her last name, right? But before I came to pastor here, every time I saw a stump, I thought about this book right here, The Giving Tree. Anybody ever read this book? This is a book that I used to read to my students when I was a teacher, and it's written by Shel Silverstein. And it is a book about two people. They're basically is a tree, and there's this little boy. Okay, so the tree, if you don't know, is a tree that just wants to give. And it sees this little boy, and he invites this little boy into the trees to climb and to play, and this boy has such a great time. And then the boy leaves. And eventually he comes back. But he's really too old to play. And so the tree is like, well, let me just give you some apples. So the tree gives him apples because he's like, you know, I don't know, you could sell them or you could do something with them. So the boy, or young man, he goes and he sells these apples. And then the young man comes back again. And the tree just wants to give. And the young man, well, he wants to take. And so the tree gives apples and branches, and then eventually the tree gives its whole trunk to a boy who has now become an older man who just wants to sail away from his problems. And at the end of the story, you have two things. You have an old man and you have a stump. I remember thinking, I'm not sure this is a book just for kids. I think it is for adults as well. I mean, this tree had given and given and given. And that's what we as adults do. I mean, we do that for our kids, right? And so this is one of those classic stories that has just stuck around for a really, really long time. And I believe the reason that it has stuck around for such a long time, I think, it's that most of us understand the giving and the taking. Like what it is to really give and what it is to have people take. Hear me, I think the stump is one of the clearest metaphors you can have of literal potential that is just gone. Stay with me this morning. I mean, maybe when you think of a stump, when you see a stump, well, maybe you think, well, things will get better, and then you really look at the stump, and you're like, nah, it's It's not going to get better. I mean, with a stump, there is no more playing in the branches. There's no more apples, no more limbs to climb. There's no more trunk. I mean, it is just kind of, I think it's kind of is what it is, right? And even for today, I think for where we are going to go, I think the stump is, well, it can kind of help us identify. What are those places and spaces? Because a stump is a good metaphor, right? So, what are the spaces and places in our life where we just know? Where we're just like, hey, this situation that I have going on right now, if I'm honest, it's probably not going to change. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's an opportunity. And I don't know what it is for you. And we will get into that a little bit, but listen. A stump is a place that I think provides a powerful metaphor for us. I think it's a place where we can think of what could have been. What might have been. And I think it's also powerful to us because we know what it's like to just give and give and give. Anyone been there? And maybe you even thought, I wonder if I should have given so much because maybe you gave, somebody took and took and took, and maybe they took what they shouldn't have taken. And they weren't grateful. And somehow in the middle of that, in the giving and the taking, well, you're just left with not a whole lot. Maybe you were the person. And I know I've been this person before, where I have been the taker. Maybe you took advantage. Or maybe you took a situation or a person for granted. But as clear as I can say, a stump for me, and I think it can be for us, it can be one of the clearest metaphors to say, well, at some point in time, maybe things were great. Maybe things could have been. And we could go that direction this morning, but I'm going to take a different direction because what I want to talk about is what happens when potential is gone. And the end is here. And it is what it is. When a situation is probably not going to change. And I think a stump is not just a powerful metaphor for us. Listen, I think a stump is a powerful metaphor that God uses. Because God uses it in the book of Isaiah. He uses it to a group of people who were in probably their lowest, no potential moment. They probably thought, there is no future. This is the end moment. And they have never been in that place before. I mean, you have God's people, and after years, all the years of these promises and the things that he put in them, it just felt like it was all over. As a matter of fact, there was an army that was coming in, and they were about to lose their homes, and they were about to lose their place of worship. But the reality is, they had already kind of lost their faith somewhere in the giving and the taking. I mean, their kids were literally being carted off. So their future seemed to be really bleak. But God stepped into. He stepped into his people's lowest moment. I mean, he stepped into where there is just no moving forward. And he gave them a word through the prophet Isaiah. And here's what he said. Isaiah 11, verse 1. He says, "People, you need to know that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse." So, what's a shoot? Well, a shoot is not another tree. A shoot is actually something that is inside of the tree, that is from the tree, that can draw in all the nutrients. Okay, hear me now. It is basically that, it's that wherever the place of the end is the place of no potential. The place where it just is what it is. And it's there. It's in that place where God says, "I'm going to do something new." And as I do something new, it's going to shoot up. And it's actually going to come from the dead place. Not a new place. It is actually going to come from the dead place. And as it comes up, it's going to start soaking in all the roots of all those promises and all those things that have been planted that you thought were gone. But, and you might not know it, but they are still alive and they're still kicking. And I'm going to shoot that up. As a matter of fact, he goes on to describe what that is going to look like. And all of a sudden he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." And God says, "Oh, by the way, that shoot, it has a name. It's a person." And I will let you guess who that is, okay? But he is going to have the Spirit of wisdom, which means maybe you didn't know what to do, and maybe no one else knows what to do either, but he is going to know what to do and how to do it. And he's going to have a spirit of understanding. He's going to have compassion. He is just going to understand because he's been made like us in every way. So he understands us in ways that we didn't dare dream he could. And he's going to have a spirit of counsel, like the kind of spirit that just comes alongside of you and doesn't just bark commands at you, but he pulls you in because he's counseling a friend. And then he's going to have the spirit of counsel and of might. So he's going to have power. That means if you think that something can't happen, He has the power to do it. And then he's going to have the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, which is this. It is an understanding of who we are and who God is. And so God says, hey, listen. Right at the end of what you think has no potential, and that it is done, right there, I'm going to give you something new. And it will be better than you expected. Now, obviously, this is a prophecy about a Savior who's going to come 700 years after the prophecy was made. But he's going to come. And when he came, what was so amazing was, is he didn't just come to a nation and say, I'm going to make you a great nation. Better than that, he said, I'm going to come to a nation of people, but I'm going to push past that nation, and I'm going to come to all people. And this could be one person at a time. And I'm going to bring salvation. I'm going to bring restoration. And guess what? After 700 years of a promise being made, the good news is, and it's why we celebrate Christmas, he came. Jesus, our Savior, came. The light has arrived. The great God who meets us at our stump and restores our souls, and the only one who has the ability to meet us in our, it is what it is, well, he has arrived. The one who can come and bring something new has arrived. So, I want us to go on a journey today. I kind of want us to walk through an opportunity. Let me put it this way. I'm going to make an invitation. At the end of the message, I'm going to make an invitation. But along the journey to this invitation, we are going to talk about three types of people. Three types of people that God has come for. And then we're not going to just talk about who he came for, but then we're going to talk about how. How do you even possibly go to the place where you just know that is not going to change, and hear me, is not going to change, but you allow God to do something new. But the invitation comes as you find yourself in one of these three categories. And also as you step into his wisdom and his understanding and his counsel and his might. So stay with me. Are you ready for an adventure? So, who did Jesus come for? And I'm curious to see where you might find yourself today. In which of these three? Okay. So who did Jesus come for? Well, Jesus came for the good. So how many of you feel like you're a good person? Okay, well, Jesus came for good people. And what do I mean by that? Well, if I'm being honest, I think most people, including Christians, we think of being good as a comparison type of thing. You know, compared to him, I am a saint. Right? And I want to say that most people, I believe, would say, I'm a pretty good person. But, I mean, you could be a mass murderer and you go to him and say, yeah, but I'm nice to the waitress. Right? So, most people would say that they're a good person by worldly standards. Is that fair to say? Okay. But most people, when I talk to them, they're like, I want to be a good husband, and I want to be a good father. I want to be good, and in some things I am good, but in others, other things, or in other ways, I just do bad. And I think God comes for good people. Not perfect people, but good people by our standards. And we have the perfect example of that in John chapter 3, in verse 1. It says, now there was a Pharisee, okay, good guy by Jewish people's definition, right? I mean, the Sadducees and Pharisees, they were two types of religious people. So there is a Pharisee, and his name was Nicodemus. Continuing on. Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Now that means he is the guy that came up with the rules to make sure that the other people could be good people. Following me? He came to Jesus at night. Why did he come at night? Well, because I think good people are kind of like Christmas trees. Okay, let's see where we fall on this Christmas tree issue. Okay, how many of you like live Christmas trees? How many of you are live Christmas tree people? Okay, how many of you are fake Christmas tree people? Okay? But we're going to talk about live Christmas trees for a bit. So, live Christmas trees. You bring it home, right? You bring it inside and you set it inside a container of water. Am I right? And then you make it look really pretty on the outside. And it is beautiful when you're done decorating it, right? All right, good people are a lot like live Christmas trees. Because right off the bat, they are like warm and inviting, and they look great on the outside, and they maybe if they've cleaned up their language, and they don't do that thing anymore, whatever that thing is, right? And maybe they've learned how to handle their anger problem. I mean, when you walk into the room, you see a good person. But do you know what I see when I see a Christmas tree? I see a tree. I see a tree that is about to be completely dead in 2 months. Why? Because no matter how much you crawl underneath that tree and put water in the base, at some point, you can't keep that tree looking good and being alive. Because it's not connected to a source. So, there is this brittleness that is progressively getting worse, right? Has anyone here kept their Christmas tree too long? Well, if you have, it starts getting, well, sad, right? I mean, this stuff just starts dropping off of it. And when I think of good people, I think of Christmas trees. Because I think of people that somewhere in the giving and the taking At some point, you realize that all of this life is dependent upon me, and I can't hold the weight. I can't be wise enough. I can't have enough understanding and counsel, and I don't have the power on my own. And all of a sudden, you start recognizing that you can't give what you don't have. And Jesus came. He came for the good. The second group of people that Jesus came for, and maybe you were in this group, the second group of people Jesus came for was the detached. And you might be like, well, I'm not the detached. But hold on a second. We find this in John chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 6. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat by the well. It was about noon, and that is going to be important. It's about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Okay, what you need to know is this. Wells during this time, back during this time, they were really the place to be. It was a social gathering place. I mean, if you wanted to hang out and you wanted to have some laughs, and if you wanted to get the daily news or gossip, where would you go? You'd go to the well. So for this time period, wells are these places of connection and relationship. And as a custom, they would meet at the well in the morning. They would get their water for the day, and they would talk, and they would develop relationships, friendships. But this woman, she came at what time? Noon. So, she wanted to come at a time when she knew she would not be around those people. You see, she didn't feel accepted by them. So she wanted to distance herself from them. To be honest, she was probably thinking, well, maybe if I go later, I can just avoid them. Maybe if I can just keep away from a real conversation, that would be best. Yeah, I will just go later. All right, so fast forward in this story. We have a woman who we find out has had five husbands. And the guy that she is living with right now is not her husband. And you go, ooh. So, she's not avoiding people just because she doesn't like people. That's not the case. Let me tell you what I see with her. And maybe this is you. Let's just say, okay, that this is you. You don't avoid people because you don't like them. Stay with me. Here's what it is. You have a brokenness in your past. And it has pushed you, and it's pushed you, and maybe you thought you could overcome it, but at some point you recognize and you feel like your life is in neutral. You feel stuck. You feel like you are detached. But why? Why do you feel detached? Well, at some point, somewhere in your past, after being broken and being hurt and being abused and being pushed to the side, at some point you learned that you keep returning to And that is, as you keep returning to it, you've learned after all the pain, you've learned, well, maybe it's just best off to be alone. It's safer to be alone. Can anyone relate? I mean, you don't want a real conversation or a real relationship. Well, if that is you, let me tell you this. Jesus came for the detached. Here's the third kind of person Jesus came for. Maybe you can relate to this one. Jesus came for the overwhelmed. Came for the overwhelmed. And this group is the group that it just feels like that there is always something pulling you down. And to be honest, you probably don't even understand why you are so overwhelmed. But you just feel constantly unsettled and overwhelmed. It just feels like life is just way too much. Anybody there? So I found someone in Scripture that would be in this boat. This person literally seems to get hit with every strategy of the enemy. And he was certainly overwhelmed. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, verse 2. It says this in some context here, okay? Jesus got out of the boat after crossing the Sea of Galilee. He got out of the boat, and there was this man with an impure spirit who came from the tombs to meet him. So maybe, well, let's just unpack his life and see. Let's see if there might be just maybe one or two things when you look at him, you say, I can relate. Mark 5, verse 3 says, this man lived in the tombs. And I'm sure you're going, hold on. I'm not like that guy. Well, wait. Maybe you have never lived in the tombs, but have you ever lived in a season? Or are you currently living in a season right now where you are magnetically drawn to dead places? Do you know anybody like this? Like they are magnetically drawn to the wrong person, or they're drawn to the wrong business deal or to the wrong business partners. And you can see it. And you can also see that they are overwhelmed. And they end up living in a place that no one should ever live in. A tomb, so to speak. And then it says, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with the chain. And you might be thinking, that dude is crazy. They're like chaining him down and he is fighting. I mean, that is crazy. Well, so is living life around people that just want to help you, and you always feel like you're tied down. Feeling like you always have to escape. Feeling like in life, that there is just always somebody to blame, and you keep running from one relationship to the next, or one job to the next, because nobody really has anything good for you. You always feel like someone has it out for you, like somebody's holding you back. Then it says, verse 5, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out. He would just cry out. There was just something inside of him that he just couldn't stop. And most of us are like, man, That guy is crazy. But is there at least one or two people in here that at night you literally go to sleep while scrolling through your phone? Because if you stop to think for just a minute, you can't stop the voices of regret or the voices of shame or the voices that say, you are a terrible mom. Why did you let that happen? Or you are a terrible husband. You're never going to change. Anybody? Some of us have gotten so good at covering the noise, and because we know that internally that we have these voices of regret and voices of anxiety, we are like, how are we ever going to get through this? And you're like, am I enough? Or am I going crazy? Or what is wrong with me? I mean, you have all these questions and they consume you night and day. Next, it says in Mark 5 that he cut himself with stones. And you might be saying, that's crazy. But do you know anybody who does this? I mean, we can see that cutting is not a new thing, right? I mean, it has been around for a long time. But why would you ever do that? Well, let me tell you, you don't know until you know. You don't know that sometimes even the destructive things that you do, well, they are actually an opportunity to feel. And you haven't felt in so long. So yeah, you continue down a self-destructive path. Because when I drink, I feel. Or when I hurt, I feel. Or when I yell, I feel. Next, let's go to Luke 8, verse 27, because the Mark account doesn't give us this. This says, for a long time, this man had not worn clothes. And you're like, so the guy was naked. And that's why I didn't start here, because I would have lost some of you right from the get-go, right? But interesting that all this stuff that just got so overwhelming, it's interesting that this was a man who is naked. But I want you to think about this, because he was overwhelmed. Have you ever seen this in somebody? Let me change this contextually just a little bit. Have you ever seen someone so overwhelmed that their clothes get less and less? Not less physically, meaning that you can see a change in their appearance. They used to come into the office all dressed real nice and, you know, a suit and stuff like that, and now they're wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt. Or maybe because they feel overwhelmed, they go the opposite way. They go get a job, a new job, or they go on a shopping spree, or they have an affair. They do things that seem crazy on the outside. I mean, it seems crazy. But sometimes when you are overwhelmed, it causes this hyper-focus on the exterior. Have you ever been there? So I just want to ask, anybody find yourself there right now? Maybe you're like, yeah, that's me. Is that a problem? Well, it's not, because the light has arrived. And Jesus has come for the good. And Jesus has come for the detached. And Jesus has come for the overwhelmed. And hear me. He has come to completely restore them. And you might be like, but Pastor Tom, how? How? Because if you knew my life, if you knew what was going on right now, if you knew that I've tried, you might be like, how in the world is God going to meet me in the dead thing? The old thing, and in the broken thing. How? How? Because I honestly have nothing left. My friends, I know. That is why I am so glad that with all three types of these people, the very first thing that he did was Jesus met them. In the broken, in the dead end, he met them in the impossible place. And then Jesus brings them something. He brings them a fresh start. Anybody here today need a fresh start? Because Jesus wants you to know that whether you are good, and I am sure that you are good. You're not that good, but you are good. Or whether you are literally detached or completely overwhelmed, Jesus just says to you what he says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answers and says, very truly, or truly, truly, meaning I can't tell you something more true than what I am about to tell you. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and born of spirit. Here's what Jesus would say. Anybody here need a fresh start today? Well, here's the catch. You have to be born again. I mean, I can't give you stand up here and give you a five-step process that wakes you up and turns your life around. So, what would happen, listen, what would happen if you decide that you want to give your life to Christ? If you decided that you wanted to be born again? It's not like let's dress up the old thing and try to make it look new, try to make it look pretty and carve something really nice in it, because it's still dead. Jesus wants to do a new thing, and he can do it, but you have to humble yourself, get on your knees and say, God, I want a new thing. I want to accept you. And I want you in me. And I want to be born again, Jesus. Jesus, I want a fresh start. And God is inviting you to have a fresh start. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Meaning, this is not your end. You can have eternal life. And I just want to say, I believe there's at least one, maybe more. Some of you know I'm talking to you today. You have put off the new start that you know that you need. I mean, there are some in here today that have never truly said yes to Jesus. And maybe today is that day. That you say, yes, I accept you, Jesus. Because if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me tell you, you need a fresh start with him. But maybe for some of you, Maybe religion has wrecked you. And you said yes to religion, but you never said yes to Jesus. And I'm telling you, I don't care if everybody knows you as the person who has been here for 40 years. You might need a fresh start today. But hear me. He doesn't just give us a fresh start. Aren't you glad? I mean, yes, he does give us a fresh start, but then he gives us a new source. He doesn't just say, okay, there you go, fresh start, good luck. No. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a fresh start, but then I'm going to take all the root system of all the promises from the past thousands of years in creation, and I'm going to let the root system be the one that backs you and feeds you and fuels you. Because every promise that has ever been spoken forever can be found in you. He says, I want to give you a new source. I don't want to just give you a fresh start, but then you're still reading your horoscope and you're relying on all these self-help gurus. I don't want to just give you a fresh start. I want to give you the source. I'm going to give you Jesus. Have you ever plugged into the source of Jesus? Have you ever plugged into having a new relationship with your Father? Have you ever plugged into knowing His Word and letting it consume you? Have you ever plugged into really connecting with the Holy Spirit in a way that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, it just comes out of you? You have to be tapped into the source. Maybe you've never been tapped into the source. Kind of like the Samaritan woman. I mean, she comes to Jesus and she's like, you know, you seem like a nice guy. So why don't you answer some religious questions for me? And Jesus is like, oh, sweet girl. That's my translation. But Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, do you know what you would do? You would ask Him, and He would have given you the what? Not that old nasty stuff out of a cup, but rather a rooted, secure, forever water. And it would well up in you. And it would fuel you. You need a new source. But then, thirdly, and this might be my favorite, because yes, some of us need a new start, and some of us need to get plugged into that new source for the first time. But then, lastly, I just want to say we need a greater power. Some of you right now, you are like, Pastor Tom, I would love nothing more than for God to meet me where I am, but you don't know the forces that control my life. You don't know the power that my brokenness from my childhood has over me. You don't know. You don't know how that relationship that I was in and that I gave and that I gave and that I gave to the very end, you don't know how it has wrecked me. I'm just kind of like the Samaritan woman. I guess this is now the relationship I am stuck with. It just is what it is. And some of you have just really felt the weight of some of the unanswered questions that have gone on for so, so long. And there's just this power and there are these voices, and it's the stuff, and it's the weight of it all. In my life, it just feels like it's going in the wrong direction. You're like, God, I need you, but I don't just need you. I also need your power in my life. God, I need you to show up. I need you to shift my world because I can't do it. And I am overwhelmed. And I don't know how to do this. God, it would be great if you would just start at the beginning. It would be great if you could, if I could just get plugged into a source, but I'm telling you that the forces that are driving my life, I can't stop them. I mean, I keep trying. Well, the King of Kings would say, watch. Watch what I can do. Continuing on, Mark chapter 5, verse 15, it says, when they came to Jesus, and this was the crowd of people, and remember, we're talking about the story of the naked, demon-possessed man, right? When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed, or the man who had been at the end, or the man that had been overwhelmed, or the man who had been on his own, or the man who had been totally disconnected. I mean, this is a man who is by far, totally wrecked and broken. And the crowd is like this. All of a sudden, we ran into the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. And all of a sudden, because he met you, Jesus, on his knees, there he was, sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. And I just have to say, whether it's a snap, and I don't get it, because sometimes he just gives a snap, and it happens, right? Don't understand that, but he's the boss. He chooses to do what he chooses to do, right? But sometimes, it's over time, as he slowly pulls you out of that thing and reworks your mind, and you walk through that process of transformation. But hear me, what I know about Jesus is this. When you get to the feet of Jesus, when you come to the cross, chains drop, addictions break, voices flee. And there is only one way to do it. Let's be clear. Here's the path. You have to say yes to him. You have to say, I want the free gift of salvation. If you've never said that before, you need to say that to him. I want that. You need to say, I want that. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Some of you might need to say that today. But for some of you, you are saved. Many of you are saved. But let me say this. You are not living your life victoriously. You are living defeated. And some of you have been dead for a long time in religion. You need to say, I rebuke the spirit of religion in my life. And I'm telling you, Jesus, I need a fresh start. That's where some of you are today. And friends, when you start there, and you say, I want a fresh start, I want to know you, I want to know Christ. I want to be forgiven. I want to repent of where I've been. And then you say, God, plug me in and give me the power so that I can experience the greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world power. And when you do that, I don't care if you're a good person, a relatively detached person, or a completely insanely overwhelmed person, all of a sudden, that stump that you have looked at your whole life and just wished it would change, God meets you there. And he doesn't see an end. He sees a beginning. He doesn't see a place of defeat. He sees a place of meeting. He sees it as a place of grace. He sees it as a place of surrender. And he begins that all things new restoration process in your life. Maybe some of you are there today. And all you have to do is ask. A light has arrived. We have an opportunity to be restored. And some of you need to take it. Let's pray. Father, I pray over my brothers and sisters that I sincerely love. Father, I pray you will meet them at the stump, whatever that place is for them, whether it is at the place of where they have already given up, or at the place of hearts already calloused, or the place where it feels like there is nothing living beneath them. I pray that you meet them there, Lord Jesus, and give them a fresh start, and plug them into your Son, Jesus, and plant your Holy Spirit inside of them so that they can experience your power, your wisdom, and your compassion and your kindness. We love you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. During this last song, there are going to be two ladies at the front and two men at the back for prayer. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, come and see one of those people as they will talk to you about Jesus and give you a chance to accept him. But maybe you're at that point in life where you just need a fresh start. You feel like that stump. And something has just completely overwhelmed you and you just don't know what to do. You need him to do a new thing. They're there for you to go to for prayer as well. Maybe you don't want individual prayer. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and just bow down to Jesus. And just speak it to him. Let me encourage you. He has come to restore you. The only question is, are you ready to allow it? Let us stand as we close in worship.